Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Stonic. You're closer than you think to a 202 Stonic with flexible finance plans from your local Kia dealer.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Five one five one is our text number. Gerard, good afternoon to you.
Hi, how are you?
Gerard, you are currently receiving the pandemic unemployment payment.
Yes.
And had you been thinking you could do with a break?
Well, of course. You know, like, I've been out of work since March, and I'd love to be back working, but obviously I can't because I've lost a job. And I just want to say, like, I'm very grateful for the €350 every week, you know, and I think the government did very well with it. But the reality is, I'm at home, no work, bored, every day is the same, there's absolutely nothing to do. I've been applying for jobs both home and abroad, and now the government have come out last night to say, oh, we're basically policing the airports, and anyone on social welfare can't go away.
And we were just listening to the minister there on the news at one saying, you know, this is a public health issue. You know,
but
we can't
take risks. There's a green list of countries.
Yeah, you're saying that there shouldn't, if there was an issue, it shouldn't apply if you were thinking of travelling to a green list country.
Well, the 14 countries on the green list are there because they've got a lower rate per 100,000 than Ireland. You know. You probably have a higher risk going down to the shop here in Ireland where people don't wear masks than you do getting on an airplane where everyone is wearing a mask, going to a safe country like Italy or Malta and then coming home and then not getting the virus. It just doesn't make any sense. I just think it's another scaremongering tactic from the government to stay at home. And I understand there's always this perception of people mooching off the state if they're on unemployment benefit, but that's not the case.
Yeah, tell me your story, Gerard. Where were you working up until the pandemic hit?
Yes, I worked in private English language schools. I worked in two of them. So obviously, that was one of the first sectors to hit. So all the students had to fly back home and they can't come and fly back in. So I don't know when these schools are going to open back up.
And have you been unemployed then since, I suppose, March?
Yeah, since March. And I've been applying for jobs since March, both obviously in different sectors, whether it be retail, in language schools, in Malta, in Italy, even in Switzerland. Obviously, I haven't heard anything back because of the situation, you know. You know, like, I want to be working. You know, every day I wake up and there's absolutely nothing to do. I go for my walk every day. You know, you watch a bit of telly or whatever else. You know, and as I said, I'm very grateful for the €350 every week. But, you know, 5 months in and I'm starting to crack up, you know, and then...
But I suppose, Jaron, just to be devil's advocate with you, there's a lot of people who you know are feeling the pressure and maybe
have been working,
for instance, frontline workers who have been spending the last 5 months and they're very much close to cracking up. But they're talking about maybe going to Kerry or to Connemara or to Donegal for their break.
Yeah, but if the government published this 14 country green lists that are safe, they've a lower rate than Ireland. I think even the Taoiseach said the other week that it's probably just as safe to go abroad than it is to stay here. These countries on the green list have a lower rate than Ireland. And by the way, in these countries, they actually enforce the wearing of masks. In Ireland, they don't. Like, if you go onto a bus or into a shop, although it's meant to be mandatory, you see plenty of people not wearing masks.
So had you been thinking and planning a holiday, Gerard?
Well, I'd love to go away, of course. Look, and I'm sure everyone would like to go away, but I just think this news story now, I just think it's targeting people on welfare. And I just find it insulting because I just feel like there's a perception, someone's on welfare, someone's receiving the taxes I pay, and they want to go on holiday with my money. And I understand that that there is that perception maybe with people that are long-term unemployed. They've no intention to work, you know, and they're off going on holidays. But someone like me, I've worked since 16 years old, you know, like a lot of people have, by the way, you know, always worked, went to college, and then obviously because this virus came, out of work.
And it's not your fault, basically. And you say that you should not be unfairly, as the only group of people in the country, stopped from travelling to this green list in particular. So stay there, Stephen, or Jared. I want to go to Stephen on another line. Stephen, good afternoon to you.
How are you doing, Katie? How's things?
Yeah, were you listening to Jared's
point
there?
I was, Katie. And with the greatest respect to Jared, if he hasn't got a job, the last place he should be going and spending his money is to a foreign country. That money that he was given in the pandemic, it's going to have to be paid back by taxpayers for the next 20 or 30 years. Have a break.
I'll be paying it back in the future with my own taxes.
No, Gerald, have a break. Have a break and go down to the country. Put the Irish money back into the Irish economy. Why would you want to pop up Spain?
I do that as well. And I've always done that as well. I go to Kenmare. I go to Clarny. I go down to Wexford. Why should I stay locked up in this country for a year, potentially?
Well,
this thing is going on until next April.
Well, apart from putting the money back into the country, you should be worried about the healthline workers and bringing back this awful disease.
And I am, and I think they've done absolutely phenomenal work. You know, I think, but we're talking about the issue that has come out last night and today to basically say they're policing the airports, people on welfare basically can't go away, and if they do go away, they're getting their payments stopped.
So they should. Anybody after the 17th of March or around the middle of March who books a foreign holiday should not be allowed going.
Well, it's obviously being used
with pandemic money.
But and do you think people should go on holidays if they aren't receiving the payment?
They can go anywhere in the country. Just for 1 year, stay in the country.
People not on the payment who aren't on welfare, do you think they should be allowed to travel to a green list country on a holiday?
I don't think anybody should be leaving the country this year. Not anybody. And that green list shouldn't have been published because it's just caused more confusion than anything else.
Well, I don't think there was any confusion at all on it. It's quite clear those 14 countries have a lower rate than Ireland.
I don't know, Gerard, you understand that, but there's 90% of the country are confused about what's being said to them.
Well, let's just hear what the minister has said about the reason that this pandemic unemployment payment is now being curtailed. Because in the past, if you were in receipt of job seekers assistance or those kind of welfare payments, you were entitled to leave the country for a couple of weeks and still draw. It wouldn't have affected your entitlement to that payment. But this, just in the last couple of weeks, has been changed. I think we can hear Heather Humphreys from the News at One now explaining that.
But just to be clear, under normal circumstances, there is a flexibility under social welfare legislation whereby a person on job seekers can travel abroad for up to 2 weeks and it doesn't impact their payment. But the point here is that we are not in normal circumstances. We're in the middle of a global pandemic it is in that context and in order to protect people's lives that we have temporarily suspended the flexibility that people can continue to receive their unemployment payment when abroad.
So, Gerard, do you accept that there, that we are not in normal circumstances, the minister is saying, and that they're not locking you in the country, but she's just saying if you want to go away, you're not going to get that pandemic unemployment payment while you're out of the country.
But why can people not on the unemployment benefit go to a greenless country and come back? It doesn't make sense. The minister is basically saying we're in the middle of a health pandemic and people shouldn't be going away. But they issued a green list of countries to say you can go and come back and not quarantine.
Yeah, Stephen, there does seem to be an issue there, isn't there, Stephen, in terms of like there's no sanction on people who are not receiving these welfare payments if they want to go to a green list country. There's no requirement to quarantine when you come back. You just go, you do it, there's no issue. But if you happen to be unlucky enough to have lost your job because of this COVID crisis, you're doubly hit.
Yeah, I can understand how people can say it's unfair, Katie, but as the minister said, we're in unprecedented times here. You shouldn't be taking any chances. And what the government are afraid of is if people go away now and bring back the COVID, and then people will say, well, you gave them money to go away, you know? So I think it's also a way of them not saying it, but they're saying you spend the money in your own country.
The issue is people on welfare are being singled out to say, if you go away, your payment has been stopped. But other people not on the payment that are in employment can go away. That's the issue.
No, they didn't say you can go away. It's essential travel, Gerard. You can't just go away on 2 week holiday.
No, the green list of countries, you can go away and come back and not quarantine.
If it's essential travel, not holiday.
No, not for the list of the 14
can you,
green
can
countries.
Can you inform them that I'm correct there?
To be honest with you, I'm a bit vague about it now after the Taoiseach, or rather the Taoiseach now, Leo Varadkar, was on Sarah McInerney this week, or last week, and said that the virus doesn't know whether you're on essential travel or not, and that basically the green list of countries is a place that you can go to for whatever reason and come back and not have to restrict your movement.
Every minister I've heard in the last 2 weeks since the green list has been issued have said at the end of the discussion it's for essential travel only.
That's the message, Stephen. But I think that message shifted subtly last week in relation to that green list being published. But stay with us, because I want to go to Margaret Earlwood. Margaret, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Casey. I was just listening to what's going on there. Now, no offence to Gerard. I'll just give you a bit of brief history. During the COVID, we haven't gone on holidays in 8 years, and we're working class people because we just can't afford it. I personally believe that every citizen in this country should be actually trying to support our own. And that includes going down the country, spending the money abroad. I have worked right through COVID because I'm part of the emergency services. And my friend who has a very bad spinal injury, to get through her pain at home, she tried to make masks when there was no masks available in this country during the COVID crisis at the start for people in healthcare, because she researched how to make the proper things, and she tried to make them out of nothing because she had no money. I gave her down materials to try and get those masks made, because it is my duty to try and help our country. I think our government have done exceptionally well. They've dealt with very intricate issues throughout the whole thing. They're not going to cover everything perfectly, but they did a fantastic job from what I could see. I saw when England came out on the news, I immediately said on the original interviews with Boris Johnson, they will have COVID. Our government has their spacing right for their interviews and the whole thing. Just on the masks, my friend made 500 masks. And I went into the nursing home.
But Margaret, can I just ask you to bring you back to the point of the discussion and this decision to stop the PUP payments?
Yes, the thing of the payment. Lots of people are under that wage and they're working through the COVID. And we should be support. I think every citizen needs to stand up and say, I'm Irish. I will try and bring jobs back into our own country, pubs closing and different places. If we spend in our own country, we should be supporting our own. And that should be, common sense. Not to be going abroad this year, especially when the guidelines were there not to, unless in emergencies, to those green listed countries. We should be spending and trying to support our own in every aspect. And if we're bored because we are on COVID payments, there's a lot of people I know that I haven't got time to go around and visit and spend time with or to help out. I did it along with my job, but we should be trying to help each other. We're in a crisis situation and we will be like that for a good while. So we need to help each other.
Yes, Gerard,
be going abroad.
Can I just ask you, Gerard, because that's a point that both Stephen and Margaret are making very strongly there, that, look, this is money you're getting from the state. And we're in this crisis situation. Whether or not it's just, you can only travel on for essential reasons or not, whatever the current guideline is on that, we know that we've been asked not to travel. And you know, should you not be supporting, you know, hoteliers and B&B owners and restaurant owners in this country?
But that's the create jobs that you'll be looking for, Gerard.
Sorry, that's a different issue of supporting jobs at home, which I do anyway and Irish people do anyway. Most would go away, whether it be over Easter or the Halloween weekend or at Christmas. That's a different issue of saying, oh, spend your money at home. My issue is here, which is the topic we're talking about, I thought, is people on unemployment benefit will have it stopped if they go abroad, even to a greenless country. And by the way, can I also say, which is a very important point, most people think someone on unemployment benefit wanting to go abroad are using their unemployment benefit money. A lot of people book their holidays in January or February or even last year, have paid for flights, have paid for hotels and whatever else. Okay? So it's not a case of people receiving €350 every week and just going abroad.
Yes, and
they've
of course
paid for the holidays months ago.
Particularly,
and they're going to lose that money if they don't go on the holiday. And they should be entitled to go and take a break after 5 months unemployed.
And then come back to a country and bum off to stay for the rest next year because you can't get a job.
Excuse me, I've been applying for jobs. I've been applying for jobs since March, and trust me, I'd love to be back working.
Well, listen, you should be keeping your money for your bills, never mind the Spanish holiday you want to go on. That doesn't make sense to me. And if everybody was to stay, the people that are planning to go away, if all that money stayed in our country, it would create many jobs that you need, Gerard.
Well, maybe the hotels should lower their prices then, because over the last 5 years, all these hotels have tripled, quadrupled their prices for all the Americans coming in here. And they didn't care about the Irish tourists. And now they want the Irish tourists. They should have always looked after their own. But that's a separate issue. The issue is
it's
here...
It's not a separate issue. It's far from a separate issue.
It is a separate issue.
It's not a separate issue.
I can go on a weekend and spend my money here. I do my weekly shop or whatever else, or you know, and
you buy your stuff
and you're paying your VAT. I'm supporting the country.
Okay, Gerard, hold on there, because I've got Michael Ratt again. Michael, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. I'm listening to the other people on the other end of this phone, and one guy, I forget his name, was saying that we should spend money here.
That's Stephen.
Maybe if they brought the prices down in the hotels,
exactly.
Number one.
Exactly.
Right, number one. Now, the guy
get
there that is
a
just... Now, hold on, please. Now, you just had your say for a few seconds, so please let me have mine. Number one, people who are not working, who can't get a job, we never asked for £350 off the government. The people that get this CODIS money, they never asked for £350. Now, let me finish. They never asked. The government turned around and offered £350. Now, you probably understand, and a lot of listeners will know, a lot of people in the supermarkets, in shops, couldn't wait to get sacked, couldn't wait to leave, because they were saying, and it was on the radio and it was on the papers, they were getting more money from the coronavirus thing than it would be paid in a shop from an employer. So what does that tell you? Now, everybody's entitled to a holiday. Number one, the government made a complete boo-boo of the whole lot. Well, they've made a complete boo-boo of everything, and anyhow, that's my opinion. Takes freedom to go into freedom in power, and they can't run the country right. We're waiting. We stand by and wait for Europe to come in to tell us what's the next thing to do.
Michael, can I ask you, Michael?
No, please let me finish. It's unbelievable that we cannot use the mentality of the government, the brains, the colleges they go to, work their way up to be ministers, and they're waiting for other countries to tell us what they're going to do. Well, number one, the park should have been closed within 24 hours when that hit this country. Every park should have been closed. Look at Iceland, or whatever that place is. Your woman came out, bang, no problem. Why didn't we do that? No, we had to stand back and sit back and listen to the rest of the world and what they were going to do. Can we not do that ourselves?
Okay, can we go back to the issue, Michael? The issue that we were discussing there.
Now, getting back to what you were saying, sorry about that.
So, no, but on one breath you're saying we should have closed the parks on day one, and as if I understand you properly, you're not happy with the government stopping people going abroad if they're on the PAP.
No, because number one, they should have put it on a billboard, they should have put it on advertisements, they should have told people on the radio, anybody who goes away on holidays that's on this money will not get any money coming back. You're going to get a big shock when you come back. I really believe they wouldn't have went. I really do believe that.
Michael, would you have been okay with it if the communication of the measure was had been done better then?
To come into Dublin Airport and to seek their addresses and their phone numbers or whatever was out of order completely. They had one caller on there saying, the reason I'm getting from this guy is that none of people who are unemployed are not entitled to a holiday. Is he having a laugh?
Nobody says that you can't have a holiday, Michael. Just stay in home. That's what people want to do.
Maybe if the hotels, the restaurants,
Can we have one voice on the line, please? Michael, if you could just hold on there for one moment, because I want to bring Paul from Navan in. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon, Katie. How are you?
Yeah, what's your take on this, Paul?
Katie, I'm actually on the dole, the 203 payment. And if I want to go away on holidays, I get me 2 weeks holidays.
I don't think you do anymore, actually, Paul. No.
Before this.
Yep.
I get the 2 weeks holidays after I finish my holidays. After. I won't get it like the likes of. I won't get it into my account every week. Do you understand me?
Yeah. To explain to people who wouldn't be familiar with the system is that you would have in the past
that you're leaving the country, you're leaving the state. You have to tell them you're leaving the state, and when you tell them you're leaving the state, that's fine. You get 2 weeks, but you don't get the 2 weeks until you come back. Now, so you've no holiday money going. Do you understand me?
I do understand you. Yeah.
So now you see there's. All your callers there are saying that they were sneaky, they went to Dublin Airport. No, they weren't sneaky. The other people were sneaky. They were out in going away from, without telling them. If I was down now this minute to tell them that I was going on 2 weeks holidays, they'd look at me and tell me to take a run and jump. You know, people, Katie, have to get real with this virus. The government didn't close down the country for nothing. They closed it down for a reason. This virus now is sleeping. That's what it's doing here in this country. And if you look at Dr. Anthony for the last 3 or 4 months, every bit of advice he gave us, we took. We were all safe. If you look back at the history, if you go back to the history over all these pandemics, the 1918 Spanish flu, everyone got the Spanish flu. And the reason, and we're fighting the Spanish flu like they were with nothing, and they fought it with nothing. And what I'm saying to you is, we are fighting with nothing, and unless we get an injection for this flu, it won't. You understand me?
I know.
Paul,
can I ask you? The situation even for people on the job seekers now has changed, as I understand it, listening to the minister there at lunchtime. That
in what sense, Katie?
They've as she said there, that clip we played where she said that they are temporarily suspending the flexibility that used to apply to allow people leave the country for those 2 weeks.
And rightly so.
And you're okay with that, are you?
I'm fantastic with that.
Are you a bit jealous, Paul, of people on the pandemic payment? Because you were obviously drawing job seekers before this pandemic hit.
Not at all. I'm not jealous at all, Katie. If you talk to any of the surgeons, they're all waiting for you and me and for everyone else, but they don't mind if you don't come up to them. Do you understand me? They're all waiting for us to help us if we get this through. But it's up to us. It's our choice whether we get it or not. I'm wearing these masks. I wouldn't go 5 miles in a bus even. It's so lethal. Do you understand me?
I do. So you're saying that, what about Jared's line that he could be locked up in this country for the next, we don't know, as you said yourself, we don't know how long we're going to have this vaccine with us and that he effectively can't leave.
Well, this virus is going to be with us for 2 or 3 years, and it's a case of how we manage the virus. Okay, so do we want to just lock up the country for 2-3 years and have people with mental health problems go through the roof?
I'd rather be alive than be down 6 foot down the ground.
Take Italy for example. They're open up the last 2 months. Fully open, more or less, apart from nightclubs. They're fully open. Bars, restaurants, everything. And they all wear masks indoors. They have a lower rate than Ireland. Per 100,000, a lower rate than Ireland. It's how we manage this. And back to the point is, should people on unemployment benefit be penalised for going abroad? That's the point.
Yes.
And my point is, I shouldn't be penalised, I think, for losing my job 5 months ago, that I shouldn't be able to go to a green list country for 2, 3, 4 nights or whatever it is and come back and be told, by the way, you're not getting
your
money
anymore. Into the real world.
But if you listen to Gerard, if you listen to anyone from ENFIT, from the public health specialists and experts that are, you know, guiding our roadmap and how we deal with this, like, they've been clear from the beginning that they do not want us to travel. They do not want us, even like, they're, forget green list, red list, blue list, whatever. They think travelling is a risking.
But they're talking from a medical point of view. Of course they have to say that, because, you know, if you stop travel, that's like saying if you stay locked in your bedroom for the next 3 years, there's going to be no virus. That's exactly what it's saying, because they're talking from their medical point of view. In reality is, we need people back to work, we need the country to open up, and we need travel again.
But do we need people to be going on holidays?
To a green list country, absolutely, because they're safer than Ireland. That was the whole point of the green list. They've a lower rate than Ireland.
Can I come in, Katie?
Is that Paul? Katie, it's Paul here.
If you look at Southeast Asia, which is the poorest countries in the world, they've all closed their borders, and they're only on $3, $4, $5, and $6 a day. That's their income, and they're high on that. And they have closed it. And the reason why they've closed it is they don't want all these foreigners, that's me and you and everyone else, going into all these places and causing this big outbreak, which they are going to be put on the hook for. Because if I suppose, Paul,
the point, Paul, is we haven't closed our borders.
No, what I'm saying is they have. And they don't want us coming in. You understand me? We haven't closed our borders.
Well,
but Southeast Asia doesn't want us coming in near them.
I know, but I don't think anyone is talking about, I think Gerard is talking about going to Southeast Asia.
Yeah, well, I'm only just saying, if the sensible thing is for people, and do what the NHS said, don't go away.
You can't do that and be locked up for 2, 3 years.
Well, I don't mind. I want to live. I'd rather be locked up than not living.
I'd rather
be locked up.
Oh, okay. Bear with me. I want to go to Kieran Matthews. Kieran, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Kieran, you've been listening to our discussion.
I have indeed, yeah. I'm retired. I've paid my taxes all through my life in various jobs. Now, I understand somebody said he didn't ask for the COVID-19 payment. He was given that to stay at home and stay safe and pay some bill. He wasn't given it to fly off to, it doesn't matter whether it's a green, red or pink country, and maybe bring back the virus, and then have the government pay hundreds of thousands of euro to make him better, to cure him. In the meantime, I'm one of the people who's at risk. One of the people that this person going on holidays can kill. But that doesn't seem to matter to them so long as they can get their bit of a holiday. As for somebody on the dole or on social welfare payments, I have absolutely no problem with anybody going on holiday. It's just don't do it stupidly.
But should we not be doing it across the board then? If somebody is on a pandemic unemployment payment, Kieran, and they're getting docked €350 a week while they're away, so that's €700, should we sanction anyone else going on holidays?
No, hold on.
And charge them €700.
Yeah. Just for a minute. That's €350 was given to them to stay home and stay safe, not to go on holidays and bring more virus back. I don't care whether it's a green country or not, the chances are still there. So a person that's on the dole itself and he's saved up his money, and by Jesus, it's hard enough, I know that. I have no problem with him going on holidays, and I have no problem with a guy with COVID, with the COVID payment taking a few days in the country here. But as for heading off and possibly bringing it back and then crying because he was told he couldn't do it when he's getting free money.
But you could pick up the virus if you went to Kerry for the weekend.
You could pick it up if you went to Kerry, but you have a better chance of not picking it up.
That's not true at all, because the green list countries have a lower rate than Ireland.
Full of idiots flying off to Pahiliana or wherever.
No, the Green List countries have a lower infection rate than Ireland. And they've been open up for 2-3 months and the rates are coming down.
It doesn't matter. Are you telling me?
It absolutely does matter.
Are you telling me that you can't bring it back from a Green List country?
But you can bring it back from County Clare or County Donegal.
You can, but the chances are less. Plus, you're at home. You can hop if you're not happy. If you're not happy, you can hop into your car or, and drive back up the country.
No.
You know? You don't have to, if you catch it here, fine. But you don't have to go away and bloody import
you
it.
You could go down to your Super Cundera Tesco, walk in,
yes,
and because
I
people
can,
don't
wear
masks in Ireland,
mask.
Even though it's the law, but it's not clean, you could pick up the virus in Super Cundera Tesco, and
you
could
fly
to Italy, a safe country, come back
and
be
fine. Why should somebody who's getting money to stay at home and stay safe go off in search of it? Just for their own gratification.
They're not going off to search for the virus.
They are going off in search of it. Just for
their
own
gratification. They're going off to search for the virus and bring it back, would you go away?
Just to show that they can do whatever they want to do.
No, because they want a break or a holiday. Or they might want to see a friend or a relative or a cousin or a girlfriend or a boyfriend.
Do you not think it's about time that somebody turned around and said, what can we do for this country to help it? What can we do to keep people safe? What can we do for our neighbours?
Then they should close the borders. The government should close the borders if that's the case. If you have an issue with travel, the government should close the borders.
You can't close the borders. They tried it. We're an island with two countries on it. They tried closing the
borders. The issue is here, people can travel to a green list country and come back and not quarantine, but if you're on unemployment benefit, they're saying, we're taking the money off you.
That's
the issue. All the other callers here have an issue with just going on holidays in general and go down to Kerry or go to Galway. That's all your issues.
Okay.
The issue is here, people on unemployment benefits
on unemployment benefits, and I hate to say this because it's a terrible thing to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. They have not earned the money, so they should spend it wisely.
Is that your... Oh, do you know what? Hold that thought, Gerard. Hold that thought. I'm going to take a break. Gentlemen, please, we want to return to this. We're going to take a break, but we'll be back after these.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And you're welcome back. And I cut across you there, Kieran, as you were making
a
point.
Actually, I'd like to apologise for my last statement.
Sorry, this is where you were saying that you didn't think that
people unemployed people didn't earn money. Of course, they earned the money. They worked their lives. And,
exactly.
They're unfortunate that have no
worked
job.
Every day in my
To be given
and I'm very thankful for the
350
euro every week as well, by the way, from the government. I am thankful.
But my point is
I'm penalised if I go to a green list country.
Okay.
That's my issue.
Okay, sorry, Kieran, finish your point.
Yeah, to be given a payment free gratis without asking for it, to stay home and stay safe.
Kieran, I don't recall Stephen or Kieran there being that rider attached to it, if I could put it that way, when that payment was announced.
But there is such a thing as common sense. And that seems to be out the window in this country at the moment.
Okay, stay with us, Kieran.
Every radio station, every programme, any discussion is all, what can I get? Nobody, as I said earlier, has turned around and said, what can I do?
Stay with us, Kieran. I want to go to Gary. Gary O'Shea, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, how are you?
Yeah, where do you stand on this one, Gary?
First of all, I agree with the chap on the payment there, the 350 payment. I think it's discriminating against him and every other fella unemployed. Why should they pick out just the unemployed and say, ye can't go, but everybody else can? That is the first point I want to make.
Are you unemployed yourself, Gary?
No, I'm not. No, I'm working. I'm lucky enough, I'm working full-time. But like I said, this whole coronavirus thing, I have a son in the Defence Forces, and last September he flew to Wuhan with, I think, 40, 50 of his colleagues, and they gave 6 weeks out there at the World Military Games. They came back in October. I'm 100% certain that they were all out there when the coronavirus was out there. It wasn't released. I have a friend who was
so your son was in Wuhan which is
Wuhan,
the epicenter of where all of this began.
Now he's been back and he's been tested umpteen times for it and hasn't got it.
And are you aware of anybody else that was travelling with him that had an issue?
I don't know, because I don't know the rest of the fellows he travelled with. But it came back in the plane, and if they all travelled in a plane, there was 300 people in a plane, I'm sure they all picked it up. And that wasn't the only flight that came back out of Wuhan at that time.
Now, of course, there is, just to say, there is some dispute as to when the virus actually took hold in Wuhan. Because it was December, really, before we were being told about it.
Yeah, I have a friend treated for pneumonia in November, and he has gone back for subsequent tests, and he has been told that his blood test that it showed up that he had coronavirus. So coronavirus was here last October, November, December, January, February, March.
Your friend, Gary, because you're telling me awful interesting things, and you're saying them very quickly. Your friend had pneumonia in November, which
he was treated for pneumonia,
and he now believes that was coronavirus.
Well, his blood test show he had coronavirus, and I'm sure he's not the only one. So the virus was here long before March, and we didn't have mass deaths. There was nobody going around with masks. There was nobody going around with anything. And coronavirus is in this country. It was in France. It's been proven it was in France as well. So it's been all over Europe, long before we shut the place down.
But what's your point in that line then?
Well, the point about it is, like, we've had this massive shutdown. You know what I mean? We didn't have massive deaths from October to March, where there was no mask, where there was no shutdown, where there was no nothing. There's probably, I think the figures show there's more people dead from cancer than there is from coronavirus, but there's no being shut down about that, you know.
And yeah, well, I suppose the point is you can't catch cancer from somebody on the street or in the pub.
I know, but like I said, if people are waiting for a cure, there is no money in cures. There'll be money in treatment, but there won't be any cure for this. So, like, how long are we going to stay locked down? How long are we going to be shut down? How long are we going to be, you know what I mean? Like the figures, the amount of people that have survived this, there's no publishing of the amount of people that have survived this. And the vast majority, the figures show, the people that have got it have had serious underlying, that have died from it, have serious underlying medical conditions. Why not isolate them, you know? And another miracle of this virus is, I've had occasion to go into the hospital in Limerick, the regional hospital in Limerick. There is nobody in A&E. Prior to this, it was one of the busiest places in Ireland. It's busier than any of the airports. But there's a miracle cure out in this COVID-19. It has emptied out all the A&Es in the country. There's nobody on trolleys. There's nobody ringing Joe for the waiting list. This fella's waiting for a bed. That fella's waiting for a bed. It's three nights on the trolley. There's nobody on the trolley in A&E now.
Stay with us, Gary. I want to go to Justin. Justin, good afternoon to you.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, Justin, you've been listening to our discussion.
Yeah, yes, I have. And I have to say, you know, I live in the States, and it's bonkers here. I mean, there's so many mixed messages. People genuinely don't know what to believe. They're listening to one side or the other, and they're going with things. But I was listening to that young chap talking about wanting to go off on holidays.
Yeah, Jared.
One thing that strikes me about that line of conversation is that, like, this is genuinely serious stuff. Like, you know, people are dying, and not all of them have underlying medical conditions. Some of them are dying because of their exposure to the coronavirus and the number it does on their respiratory system. And they've got, nothing was wrong with them beforehand, ever, you know. And so when I think about that, and I think about, you know, I watch the way Ireland has appeared to be handling the coronavirus. They've been doing a fabulous job. And up to a point, everybody was, you know, whether they liked it or not, was toeing the line. Everybody is, you know, working from home or is staying at home. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people that are unemployed. But when I hear Gerard coming on and talking about, you know, going on holidays and stuff like that, with money that's been given to him free by the government, it's like, it makes absolutely no sense.
From working the last 16 years as well, by the way.
Yeah, I was supposed to come home in June to see my family, and I made a very painful decision for me and my two sons to not go home, because on the off chance that we brought it and gave it to my older parents, how can you live with that? You make your parents sick, or you make your family sick, or you make your friends sick.
They can't keep just fire so good for
what?
2-3 years.
No,
there's never
can't.
Going to be a cure. As that other man said, there's never going to be a cure for this.
Do you know what? You can't say that with any degree of certainty.
I don't know if you've been following the news in the last couple of weeks, but there is some very promising data coming back from vaccine trials.
A vaccine trial. And then you get a vaccine, and what will happen 6 months or 1 year or 2 years down the line? You don't know the side effects from vaccines. I won't be taking a vaccine if it comes out. No way.
You won't? You'll be refusing a vaccine?
Absolutely. I am going to refuse a vaccine. I have an underlying health condition. So they could give me a vaccine, and then I react bad to it.
You're going to get sicker.
Elderly people with underlying health conditions, and they're also overweight, from what I'm hearing from from doctors and nurses.
It's Kieran here.
Kieran,
I'm 65. I've had vaccines all my life, and you know what? I'm still alive. I have certain conditions that are checked out from time to time, and the vaccines are all tested. If I can't get one, I will be told.
You won't be refusing a vaccine, Kieran, will you?
What?
You won't be refusing a vaccine.
If there's a vaccine out for this, I will be forced in the queue.
Can I just ask Gerard there? Sorry, Kieran, just one second. I just want to ask Gerard, because I hadn't been aware of something you just said there, Gerard. Do you say you have an underlying condition that would make you vulnerable to this virus now?
I have a heart condition, and I also have asthma.
And you still feel that you're comfortable.
I still want to live my life because traveling. This virus will be here for 2-3 years, and if I'm unemployed for 2-3 years and locked up and can't go out, I'll probably die from stress before I die from this virus.
Are you at all concerned about contracting the virus, George?
Hang on, you can go out.
Selfish.
No,
absolutely
you
selfish.
You can
most
go
people
out.
That get the virus will never know they had the virus. 20% have zero symptoms, and about 80% have mild symptoms.
Hold on. You said the virus you're locked already. Up and you can't go out. Of course you can go out. I was out today. I was out shopping. I was speaking to people through a mask.
We only know the people with the virus that get tested, and most people don't get tested.
I have been tested.
And people are afraid to get tested. Most of us probably had the virus already, or will get the virus, and we won't even know we have the virus, because you'll have no symptoms or little symptoms at all.
Okay.
Gerard, you can spin this any way you want to. All you're doing is justifying your behaviour.
You know, this is the same with people not being vaccinated for mumps and measles, you know.
Okay, I need to take another break. Stay with us. We'll be continuing this after these. 51551 is our text line.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Kieran Cooney, good afternoon to you.
How you doing, Katie?
Kieran, you are one of these people who had their payment stopped.
I am indeed, Joe. I'm a full-time professional musician from Burr in County Offaly, and I suppose to make a long story as short and concise as possible, I'm in a relationship with a girl from Glasgow. And my job as a musician, I've toured all over the world with Derek Warfield and the Young Wolf Tones and with various dance shows. And at the moment, before all this happened, I was a full-time guitarist and vocalist with a massive touring show called Irish Celtic.
Oh, yeah.
And, basically what happened was we started off rehearsals in Glasgow, as most of the band are actually from Glasgow. And I was there for the week of the rehearsals and was staying with my partner. And I actually left Glasgow on Valentine's Day to start our tour. We were meant to be touring France, Germany, Portugal and China right up until early June. But because of everything that happened, the tour was cut short the Monday before St. Patrick's Day. So I hadn't seen my partner in all that time, as I'd been touring all over the world. So I came back to Ireland. And basically was at home on lockdown with my family in my house, not working, obviously, as a musician. There's no work.
Do you know what, Kieran? Kieran, hold that thought, because the line is breaking down a little bit. So we're going to try and call you back. Hang up and we'll try and call you back and get a better line, because I want to hear exactly how this happened and what happened in relation to your payment. Just in the meantime, I'll go to Kate. Kate, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
Yes. Good afternoon, Kate. What's your take on this?
Well, first of all, I'm not on a COVID payment. And also, I'm not interested in travelling. So that's my own personal position. I'm not interested in travelling because...
You have no skin in this game, particularly.
Exactly, that's what I was saying. But I was really incensed at the idea of people who are on the COVID payment suddenly being targeted at the airport with no warning. Like, they were given a payment, and it's not unemployment or it's not job seekers. It's a special payment for the COVID. But it did not come with any stipulation, oh, by the way, you mustn't travel, you mustn't do this, you mustn't do that. So, and they're listening to mixed messages. Also, people on COVID payment are under stress. Like, this whole notion that the COVID recipients are out there, you know, swanning around on, you know, more money than the unemployment benefit. It is going to stop. It is going to ease off. It's a temporary measure for a very sudden thing that happened to everybody. But just the whole idea of somebody in the airport with a clipboard taking names, you know, of the most vulnerable of the society. And I did a calculation. The calculation of the COVID payment, if paid for a year, is in and around the same amount as the increase, the 16,000 increase given to junior ministers during the week or last week, whatever. Now, I might be wrong by a couple of hundred, but it's in and around that, you know. And
yeah, well, I suppose I should, just to clarify, because I know there's been clarifications being put out about that it was that two junior ministers were already on that payment, and that 16,000 and whatever was agreed for the third junior minister, so that all three super
parity
juniors would be on the same payment, that it wasn't something that was given to three of them. But anyway, off you, keep going there.
But it seems to be, you know what I mean, in the overall scheme of things. I think I started getting annoyed when I heard Heather Humphreys saying, oh, well, just get another job. You know, and I know she wasn't as glib as that because she wasn't really answering the question. She was more evasive. But what are you going to do? Like, are the musicians now going just to, you know, get a job as a barman, even if the barman didn't have enough barman unemployed themselves? What job, where and how?
Yeah, there was, that did confuse, I must say that was confusing, that exchange, because the understanding was you were given this pandemic unemployment payment in order to maintain relationships, you know, and on the understanding that perhaps the industry you were in had to shut down because of the COVID.
Well, a lot of them are shut down. Like, they're not available for work because the work isn't available to them. The work that they're all of the people, even up in RTE, the Fair City set, it's all closed. All the lighting people, the sound people, anywhere in the entertainment, anywhere in the theatre group, anywhere in the music, anywhere in the National Concert Hall, all of those people and the subsidiary people, they have no work to go to. They are trained in those areas.
Well, Kate, I think we actually have that clip of the Minister, Heather Humphreys, from the News at One, on that whole issue of having to be actively seeking work.
You're looking at a situation that may or may not occur, but the point is, if you're on the public on the unemployment benefit at this point in time, if you don't have a job to go to, then you should be actively looking for other work. And, you know, if your job is no longer there, in the case of some sectors, for example, if you work in a pub, we are hoping that you will be able to go back to your job. So you don't have to be looking for work in that situation. But if you find that you're going to be permanently unemployed because your job isn't there, then you should be looking for work. And that's why we have invested all of this money in job activation programmes.
Yeah, so if you get that, if you think your job might come back, you shouldn't bother actively looking for work. But if you think come back, you have to be actively looking for work.
Well, I just noted at the very beginning there, either she's confused or she's deliberately being confusing. Because in the beginning she said unemployment payment. Is the COVID payment an unemployment payment or not? That has to be defined. I don't believe it is. I thought it was an emergency payment while things sorted. Now, it's turning into an unemployment payment by
the standard. But I suppose, to be fair, is it an unemployment for people who have been made unemployed temporarily because of the COVID crisis?
Yes, but they're not actually clear. If it was, I mean, everybody was surprised that it was like 350, and I think nobody would have even minded if it went straight onto maybe even the other rate is, and it is probably going down to that. But I think, because why didn't they just say then, oh, by the way, if you're on that, you can't travel? You see, it's a form of massive passive aggression on the part of the government to feed out these little things, you know, oh, these green countries, and no, you're on this payment, but then don't tell them if they go away, we're going to catch you at the airport. They wait till you go to the airport and say, oh, but isn't it outrageous, you're risking all our health, this is what you're doing. They're setting people against each other. We're not very far away from each other.
Okay, well,
really annoyed.
I can hear that, Ciarán. I can hear that. Stay there because I think we have Ciarán Cooney back on, hopefully a better line. Ciarán.
How's it going?
Yeah, I think that sounds a bit better. Yeah, Ciarán, I'm really fascinated because Kate was raising it there, how this works. So basically, you had been touring, you hadn't seen your partner for ages, and she's based in Glasgow, and you decided to go and see her in May.
Yeah, so it was around the 7th of May, Ryanair, what was happening before was Ryanair used to have 3 flights every day between Glasgow and Dublin. And as a result of the pandemic, they had 1 flight every second day flying between Glasgow and Dublin. So I seen that the flights were still going, and I understand completely that the government's advice was non-essential travel shouldn't take place. But for me, it was essential travel. I hadn't seen my partner in nearly 15 weeks at this stage. So I booked the flight. There was nothing said to me in any terms and conditions of the COVID unemployment payment that if I left the country, that my payments would be in jeopardy. So I booked the flight. I drove up to Dublin. I got on, and as I was waiting at the gate to get on the plane, 2 plainclothes members of An Garda Síochána approached me and asked me for my licence as they were performing an immigration check. So I got on the plane, went over to Glasgow for 9 days.
I'll just stop you there, just to be clear. So they identified themselves as members of An Garda Síochána. They weren't from the Department of Social Protection.
No, they were wearing the blue rain jackets that you see the Gardaí wearing with the yellow writing on the back to say Garda.
Okay, and you were told that they wanted your driver's license, is it?
My passport or my ID is what they were looking
for. Your ID, and they said they were doing that for immigration purposes.
They were doing an immigration check. Is all they said to me. They did not say for what reason, who they were going to be relaying the information to. They didn't say that they were taking information on behalf of the Department of Social Protection. Because to be honest with you, if I really felt that my payment was going to be brought into dispute or it was going to be taken off me, I probably wouldn't have got on the plane. Because I'm relying so heavily. I have bills to pay. I have loans to repay. I'm very heavily reliant on that money. And if the guardie said to me there and then, look, if you get on this plane, your money's going to be stopped, I probably would have reassessed the situation and not went.
And did they ask you for your PPS number?
No. And I tell you, the other thing was, I actually hold a British passport as my father was born in the UK, and it was my British passport that I gave them. And they still knew it was me. Even though I'm fully tax compliant in Ireland, I've paid my taxes in Ireland since I'm 18 years of age, and even though all of my work is abroad, and 80% of my work in the year as a full-time touring musician is done abroad, all of my taxes are paid in Ireland. In order for me to perform with any of the large shows like Riverdance or Irish Celtic or Lord of the Dance or any of those shows that I've been associated with, you have to fill out what's called an A1 form, which basically means that the company that you work for, you have to get that form. It lets them know that you are responsible for your own taxes.
Okay.
So you have to be fully tax compliant in order to work with these companies.
Okay. So there you are, fully tax compliant. You've shown them your ID, your passport, and your driver's license as well. Did you?
No, just my passport.
Just your passport. Okay. And you went to Glasgow on your for your trip to see your partner.
Yes.
When did you realise then that there was going to be this issue?
So I flew over on a Thursday, the 7th of May, I believe it was. The payment usually comes in on Tuesday, so the next Tuesday the payment was there. And then it was the following Saturday I returned home. And then the Tuesday that I was back home, there was no money in my account. So I was like, okay, that's a bit strange. But I heard that a few people's money had been stopped for various reasons, or that there was delays. So I waited a day or two, still no sign, and I contacted the Department of Social Protection, who informed me that they could see that my money had been stopped. And the reason for it was, and I quote, "We can see that you boarded a Ryanair flight on the 7th of May at 9:30 in the morning, and that's why your money was stopped."
Whoa, very, very. So that information was somehow inputted on your social protection data?
Correct.
The time of the flight and who you flew with and where you went.
Who I flew with and everything. They knew exactly where I was and when I left the country. And I was not informed at any time that this information was going to be relayed to the Department of Social Protection. And if they had said it to me that it was going to be relayed to the Department of Social Protection, I would have said, here's my return flight. But they didn't care about my return flight. They said, oh, you're gone, your money's been stopped.
Oh, that was my next question. So how did they know when you had returned then? No.
No, they didn't care. Only if I contacted them, they weren't going to give me that money back. I had to contact Karen Nolan. I had to, seeing as my constituency is Leash Offaly, I contacted Karen Nolan. And I contacted Brian Stanley from Sinn Féin, who, in fairness to the two of them, worked well on my behalf. I also sent a letter to the then Minister for the Department of Social Protection, Regina Doherty, sent her a handwritten letter explaining my situation. But it took 6 weeks for my payments to be reinstated. However, I'm 6 weeks in arrears. So I was 6 weeks without any money. And I had to go back up home to my mother and father, and I was living with them, and only for them I wouldn't have been able to survive. I had to move home where my sister is with her newborn son and both of my parents, and in the house. And it was mental in the house, but only for them. I don't know where it would have been.
So you didn't have a penny coming in the door?
None, not a thing.
And of course, because of the business you're in, you had no way of earning money either.
No, like I studied in BIM up in Dublin, the British and Irish Modern Music Institute. I played music full-time since I've been 15 years of age. I'm fully qualified as a musician. I've studied music. I don't know how to do anything else. And just on a point there, when I just heard Helen Humphrey speaking there, it really, to be honest with you, it really annoys me, because I've been trying to find work. Being a musician, it involves a lot of driving. I enjoy driving. Cause I've driven all over this country. I've driven all over America on tour. I've been all over the continent of Europe. And I looked into seeing could I get my Category C license to drive lorries, seeing as that job was considered essential for delivery to drivers and such. And I'm based in Barra. My nearest NDLS centre is in Cullamore to do the theory test for the Cat C licence. And the closest date I can get for the Category C licence was October time, and it was in Letterkenny.
All right. Okay, that's a whole other world. Will you stay with us, Ciarán? I think we need to try and sort out your line again, and hopefully, because it did improve there, but it's going downhill a little bit now. And I do think people will want to hear what you're saying. So bear with us, and we'll come back to you in a moment. Anne, good afternoon to you.
Hi, how are you?
Anne, were you listening to our the account of that there from Ciarán?
I didn't get a lot of that, I'm afraid. And I just wanted, the only reason why I texted is I wanted to just make the point that unemployment benefit is for people who can be available for work. And if you're in quarantine, following being away, you're not available for work.
But I suppose, I think Gerard's point, sorry Anne, just to say, because people will be making this point, if you go to a green list country, you're not asked to quarantine when you come return. So there wouldn't be an issue of being, you know, not available for work because you're quarantining in those circumstances?
In those circumstances, I can't see how they could stop your payments when you come back. But I just wanted to make the point that if, as an employee, if I went away on holidays for 2 weeks and I had to quarantine when I come back, my employer is not going to pay me.
Yeah, and I think the minister actually made that point in relation to public servants in her interview today. She was saying there's, hundreds of thousands of public servants, and if they go to a place and need to quarantine when they come back, that they won't be paid by the state for those 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And she was saying, you know, we're not trying to pick on anyone here. We're just trying to manage a public health emergency.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's very fair.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
If you're not in a position to work.
Yeah. Kate, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's fair enough. In fact, personally, I raised the whole question of travelling at all to any country. Mm-hmm. You know, as I said at the very beginning, I wouldn't. But what that lady said there, that's absolutely fair enough. And, you know, it's a comparable thing when you're in a job and you come back and nobody's going to pay you if you're in quarantine. But that's not the case with the green list countries. You see, I think there's a lot of things getting confused here. Is the objection on the government, the fact that they're on a COVID payment and travelling, or is it that the fact that they're travelling? Like, it's even after Heather Humphrey's interview, it's not clear to me what it is that's bothering her or her department to go out. That was an outrageous thing for that chap to be stopped by Gardaí at the airport as if he'd committed a crime or something. I mean, that would be quite alarming for somebody to be stopped by the Gardaí at the airport.
Well, I suppose, to be fair, he didn't describe it as being stopped. He described it as being approached by these two plainclothes guardie. I think we have Kieran back again. Kieran?
Are you back?
Do we have you, Kieran?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, we were just talking about the actual incident at the airport where you were approached by these two plainclothes guardie. I mean, you must have been quite taken aback when you were given that information from the Department of Social Protection that information had been relayed.
Yeah, well, the thing was, I was never informed by anyone that had happened. It wasn't until I looked to see why my payment had stopped. Do you know what I mean?
And he wasn't told that he couldn't go either. Nobody was. That's what I'm. It's kind of an insinuous thing going on, you know. Here, nobody was told ever COVID that they couldn't.
Yeah, Kate. I'm just one thing strikes me now. What date did you fly out to Glasgow?
The seventh of May, and the department had everything: the flight number, the carrier, and my name. They had everything. They knew their exact words were. We can see that you boarded a flight, a Ryanair flight, on the 7th of May at 9:30 in the morning, and that you were on that flight, therefore your money was stopped.
And you see, I understood that this was a new restriction that had been introduced with that new statutory instrument, but perhaps that was just extending the issue from the pandemic payment onto all job seeker payments. But I thought this was a much more recent development, but you're saying that as far back as May, these...
I remember specifically that there was an article across various media outlets about there was a number of Brazilian nationals who had been claiming the payment and leaving the country to go back home. That they had to stop a lot of those people's payments for that reason. And I remember being aware of that at the time. That was back early May as well. But as I said, I was never informed by anyone at any time that my money could have been stopped. And when I got in touch with my local welfare office, they put me through to the special division unit up in Dublin. The DSU, I think they call us, and the gentleman that got on to me basically said, look, the stance by the department is, if you leave the country, you are no longer entitled to the payment whatsoever. No ifs, buts, yeses, or maybes. And it wasn't until a couple of weeks had gone by, I had been put...
And then, Kieran, oh, sorry, you know what? I'm told I have to take one more break, but stay, I have several more questions I want to ask you. Stay with us and we'll hear more about Kieran's story after these.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And we're talking to Kieran Cooney, who had his pandemic unemployment payment stopped when he went to Glasgow to see his partner that he hadn't seen for 15 weeks because he had been touring. Kieran is a musician. Kieran, just in relation to that, that you had to battle to get your COVID payment back or your pandemic unemployment payment back. Did you have to prove that you had returned to the country? Because the only data that the department seemed to have was that you had left the country.
So what happened was, basically, when I got in touch with my local TDs and I got in touch with Regina Doherty, who was the then Minister for the Department of Social Protection, basically what happened was the rules around leaving the country had since changed. So I was phoned by someone from the department who said, look, the rules have changed now that if you leave the country and come back and you're still unemployed due to COVID-19, you can go back on the payment. So basically it was down to the fact that the rules were changed that I was allowed to go back on the payment at all. And basically when when I went down to my local welfare office in Burr, they asked for proof of my return flight, which I had to give them.
And were you docked for the days that you were out of the country?
Basically, I'm still, the 6 weeks that I was not paid, I still haven't got. I was told I would be paid the arrears at some stage, but I still have not gotten a cent of that.
Oh, and you haven't been told when you're going to get those, obviously, then?
No. What I was told was, because they were so busy paying people the regular 350 amount, that they didn't have the capacity to deal with arrears, because apparently there was quite a large number of people who had to be paid arrears and they didn't have the facilities to pay those people their arrears while they were paying people the 350 per week.
But I presume you're just relieved to be actually back on the 350 a week payment.
Massively. I mean, like, I was without that money. As I said, I was 6 weeks without it. I hadn't a penny coming in. I had absolutely nothing. So That's what I, you know, I mean, that's what I was dealing with.
And so, I'm just trying to figure out the scale of the operation at the airport as well, in terms of, I mean, did you see those Gardaí approach anybody else while you were there?
No, well, basically, when I was at the gate, so basically, it was completely normal. You checked in, walked to the gate, went through security, walked to the gate. And when I got to the gate, I think there was around 8 people on the flight at the time. And basically, it was a gate in Terminal 1 where it kind of comes down. You go down the escalator, and it's like a kind of like a circle. And they went around, these two plainclothes Gardaí came into that area, and they went around to each person individually looking for their documents.
And how many people? So, one by one, people were gone through who were waiting there at the gate.
Correct. Yeah.
So they're gathering quite a lot of information.
Yes, of course they were. Yeah. So there was, as I said, there was, that was the only flight that was leaving that area, and they asked each and every individual for their documents. And as I said, when they came up to me, they said, "How's it going? Can we just see your proof of ID? We're just doing an immigration check." That was it. They didn't say anything else. I gave them my passport, and they gave me back my passport and said, "Thanks very much."
And are you annoyed by that? The fact that you weren't given warning, either, you know, before you ever went to the airport or at that moment when that information was requested?
Absolutely. I mean, Dublin Airport had a tweet up today saying, you know, defending themselves in saying that, you know, they don't hold any of this information. But, I mean, it should be, you know, the airlines and the airports should be warning people that if you leave the country, you know, this is a warning that if you leave the country, your payment will be in jeopardy. People should be getting warned. And first and foremost, it should have been done by the department. There should be something in place to say, if you're planning on leaving the country, this is what you need to do in order to make sure your payment isn't stopped. Or if there's no leeway whatsoever, look, don't leave the country.
And can I just double check? I mean, are we sure that it was that exchange with those two plainclothes Gardaí that was the source of this information, and that that this information wasn't being passed on by any other one that would have access to that information?
Well, who else would have access to information? The only other people that had my information was Ryanair would have had me on the passenger manifest. And I've never been asked by Gardaí getting on any plane. I've flown, as I said to you, with my job, I've flown all over the world. I lived in America for 2 years. I've flown all over America, all over Europe. I've never once been asked by police before I boarded a flight to show documentation.
Yeah, it's a strange one, Kieran. It's a strange one. But you're back getting the payment. It's all been sorted. Have you been back to Glasgow since then?
I haven't. I'm too afraid to leave, to be honest. And you know, the thing that's kind of crazy at the moment is, myself and my partner, we've just purchased a house. And you know,
where in Ireland or in Scotland?
In Glasgow. So I mean, I'm, you know, this is the thing. I've always been tax compliant in Ireland, and I'm afraid to go over there because I don't know if I'm going to get work over there. So I'm better off staying where I am for the foreseeable future and getting the money.
And what about Gerard's point there that he made repeatedly through the programme, that he feels that just because he's unfortunate enough to have lost his job, that he's on this particular payment now, this pandemic unemployment payment, that he feels like he's almost being locked into the country for the foreseeable future?
Well, I put it to you this way. I haven't spent this much time at home since I was 17. I've always travelled. I've always been all over the world. I lived in America, as I said. You know, my entire life, for me, it was like hitting a brick wall at 120 miles an hour. My life was go, 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 travel here, plane here, bus there, van here, and that was all stopped. So, you know, my whole entire livelihood is gone, and that of thousands of other people. I mean, there's nearly 4,000 members of the Musicians and Entertainers Association of Ireland at the moment who are fighting on our behalf.
Indeed.
You know, and they're doing great work. But I mean, I could talk all day about all the ongoing issues around this. I mean, I just phoned you to talk about my pandemic payment being stopped. But I mean, it's as I said, it's like hitting a brick wall at 120 mile an hour, yeah. And there's no light at the end of the tunnel.
Indeed. Stay there, Kieran. I'm told I have to take another break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Now, I had hoped to get back to Gerard, but we are out of time. So I just want to thank Gerard. Thank you to Kieran Cooney, to Kate and to all our other callers for joining in that discussion today. Today's programme was produced by Dave Sherry. Richie Byrne was the researcher and Tommy O'Sullivan was on sound. Stand by for Ray Darcy.